Happy New Year and welcome to the first 2018 Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll & Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. After our update on the National Defense Authorization Act towards the end of last year, things calmed down a bit for the holidays. We have a few items to report on in this edition of the podcast, so without further ado, in False Claims Act news, late last month, the Department of Justice reported that it received and recovered more than $3.7 billion in settlements and judgments from the Civil False Claims Act cases in 2017. FY 2017 recovery is the fourth largest total in 30 years. At the industry level, DOJ reported $2.47 billion in recoveries from the healthcare sector, $220 million from defense companies, and approximately $1 billion from the remaining industries such as banking, higher education, and energy. Press release also noted that DOJ, quote, aggressively pursued, unquote, procurement fraud in fiscal year 2017. Peter, over to you.
Thank you, David. So we've got two bid protest updates. The first is a case update, and the second is more a policy update. So first, a development in a case called Immersion Consulting. This case highlights the need for the source selection authorities to clearly articulate reasons for any deviations from source selection evaluation board recommendations. So in this decision, GAO sustained a protest to a task order awarded by the Department of Defense, Department of Human Resources activity. There, the protester alleged that it had been prejudiced by the agency's unreasonable best value determination, which was based on the conclusion that both the protester and the awardee offered technically equal proposals. The protester argued that the SSA unreasonably removed a weakness that the SSEB had assessed to the awardee's proposal, alleging that the SSA's change failed to address the risk identified by the SSEB. GAO agreed, finding that while the SSA was entitled to exercise independent judgment, it did not articulate a reasonable basis for removing the weakness. Similarly, the protester also argued that the SSA unreasonably removed a strength assessed to its proposal by the SSEB. GAO again agreed, concluding that the SSA provided no reasonable basis to remove the strength, while the SSA stated that the SSEB's comments to the protester's approach were too general. In actuality, the SSEB offered specific comments identifying the impact and benefit of the approach. So bottom line on this case is a reminder really on the government side about the importance of documentation, important for protesters to keep that in mind as they fashion arguments, and obviously interveners as well in terms of thinking about how the agency can defend the award. Turning to policy news, RAND Corp. recently submitted a report to Congress on the effects of DOD bid protests as required by the 2017 NDAA. Interestingly, RAND made a couple of important observations that are noteworthy. First, bid protests are not a significant impediment, as some in Congress have suggested. To the contrary, open quote, bid protests are exceedingly uncommon for DOD procurements, close quote. Second, RAND found that GAO's 100-day deadline should stay. GAO already resolved 70% of the protests within 60 days and often needs the full 100 days for complex protests and particularly the push at the end of a fiscal year. Number three, task order protests are important. The higher effectiveness rate for task order protests indicates that such procurements may be more problematic and should be protestable. They're also getting larger if you look at the statistics. Number four, a majority of protests are brought by small businesses. Congress, according to RAND, should consider approaches to reduce and improve such protests. And finally is the importance of debriefings. RAND found, open quote, that evasive or adversarial debriefings may lead to a bid protest in most cases, close quote. And that's certainly consistent with what we see, where detailed debriefings can sometimes reduce protests and eliminate those protests where really the basis for protesting is nothing more than I really want to figure out what happened. So with that, David, we'll turn it over to you.
Sure. And this is one where there's just going to continue, I think, to be a disconnect between the government mindset and industry's mindset. Industry puts in a lot of time, in some cases millions of dollars in bid and proposal costs, and tries to understand why they didn't get an award. And that's a logical outgrowth, right? We want to know, having put in all this time, how to do better and why it didn't work out. Government side, sort of sat on both sides of this, is don't tell them anything. They might use it against us. So hopefully over time, this mindset will shift because the experience in the pilot program with enhanced debriefings, the Air Force being one, has been pretty successful, I think.
No, I totally agree with that. So I think that's well said. And I think we'll continue to see a little bit of spinning on that as we try to figure out where the right balance is.
True. All right. So let's move over into cyber news. Just a quick reminder, the DFARS safeguarding rule is in full effect now that December 31st has passed. Compliance deadline's in our rearview mirror. So what is asked for with the safeguarding rule? There's a lot of noise out there about what it means and what it doesn't mean. So let's just give you a quote from the Director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, listed in his memorandum for DoD acquisition personnel in preparation for the compliance deadline. DFARS Clause 252.204-7012, safeguarding covered defense information and cyber incident reporting, requires contractors to provide, quote, adequate security, unquote, for covered defense information that is possessed, stored, or transmitted on the contractor's internal information system or network. The department must mark or otherwise identify in the contract any covered defense information that is provided to the contractor and must ensure the contract includes the requirement for the contractor to mark covered defense information developed in performance of the contract. To provide adequate security, the contractor must, at a minimum, implement National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST's, Special Publication 800-171, called Protecting Controlled Unclassified Information in Non-Federal Information Systems and Organizations, not later than the end of last year, right? December 31st, 2017. This should be old news by now, but if you have any questions about these obligations, please contact us or your regular Kroll and Mooring point of contact, and they'd be happy to assist. And that's all for this first edition of 2018. We'll see you again on our regular bi-weekly schedule. In the meantime, if you need anything, I can be reached at 202-624-2627 and Peter at 202-624-2807. Have a good day.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.